Welcome to the Three Creeks Church podcast. Today we're in a series called Don't Skip Leg Day, and it's designed to help you find and follow God in everything He says. In this current season, our church is gathering once a month on the first Sunday, and then we're meeting in community groups for the other 3 weeks. To find out more about our church, to give online, or to join a community group, visit threecreekschurch.com.
The question won't be, how many awards did you get in life? Won't be, how popular were you in your social setting? That won't be the question that day. It will not ask, how much money did you accumulate? How much did you have in stocks and bonds? Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh will see it together.
All right. Well, good evening, Three Creeks Church. My name is Joel, and I get to be the pastor here. If you're here in person, what's up? And if you're watching online, welcome. And if you're watching the Super Bowl, and you are going to listen to this later this week, God will forgive your sins. And we're glad you're here. Now, we really are glad that wherever you're coming at to listen or watch this, welcome. And wherever you're at on your spiritual journey, you're welcome at Three Creeks Church. I, a few months ago, made a significant change in my life. And, we are propagating plants, but that's not what I'm talking about. Anybody else propagating? See, there's some propagators out there. I knew. It was the masks that muffled the laugh of that joke a second ago. But anyways, so I started this new thing a couple of months ago, and I joined a gym. And it's been a while since I've been a member at a gym. I've spent most of my time running or joining my wife for some Shaunti workouts. But the mirror was being honest with me. It was time to join a gym. And so I bit the bullet, and I emailed the gym, and I said, hey, I'd like to just set up, you know, a little meeting. And I met with the owner of the gym. His name's Brian, and I walked in. He was so nice. He was so nice, and you know, how long have you lived in Gahanna, and are you dealing with any injuries, and tell me about your fitness background. He really wanted to get to know me, and I was just, you know, trying to play it cool, right? Like, I want to be his favorite person in the gym, of course, so I'm trying to, you know, just handle myself with a little bit of confidence. And then all of a sudden, he says, let me show you a couple things, and he hands me, rather than handing me like a barbell, he hands me a PVC pipe. I'm like, Brian, I can handle the barbell, but okay, I'll do your little game. So I pick up the PVC pipe, and he starts showing me some stuff, and he goes, hey, let me teach you how to do a burpee. Come on, Brian, I've done a million burpees before, but I, you know, just to appease him and make him like me, I say, oh, okay, you know, I'll get down on the ground, and I'm just trying to play the thing. And then by the end of the little meeting with Brian, he says, I just want to put you through a little bit of a workout. And he kind of writes it on this whiteboard. It's going to be some burpees and things with the barbell. And then it's going to end with a bunch of burpees. And he goes, this will take you about 10 minutes. And I'm like, outside, I'm like, okay, I'll give it my best shot. And inside, I'm like, come on, Brian, this is not going to take me 10 minutes. Watch this, you know? So he says, on your marks, get set, go. And it's just me and him. We're just watching. And I should have said this. There's four other people in the gym. That's it. They're on the other end. They're definitely seasoned people in this gym. They've been around. They know what they're doing. They're just kind of like looking over at us occasionally. So I feel like I have a little bit of an audience. So I'm really kind of hyping myself up here. And I just give it honestly everything that I have. I mean, I give it everything that I have. I don't leave anything in the tank. And I finish the workout. So I do the last burpee, and I stand up, and the room is spinning. And I have to sit down. I end up laying down on the ground, and this thought entered my mind, how long will it take the ambulance to get here? Like, I'd never been to this point in my whole life. I was experiencing this. Wait, this might be what it feels like to die. Like, I really had that thought in this moment. I'm laying on the ground, and then all of a sudden it hits me. I'm gonna throw up everywhere. And so I crawl over to the trash can and just start throwing up in the trash can. And not a lot's coming out, a lot of dry heaving, maybe 25 of them. And I'm throwing up, and Brian comes over. He brings me a chair, and he kind of just taps me on the shoulder and says, "It's been a while, hasn't it, buddy?" And the four people come and walk by me, and I'm just ashamed. I've just had my head down. Don't show my face. And so it's a very sobering experience. The next couple days, I started to go in. I start introducing myself, like, "Hey, guys, I'm new here. My name's Joel." And they're like, "Oh, Joel. That one, you know." So truly, it was a very sobering experience for me. It was a very humbling experience for me. What Brian said was right. It had been a while for me. And it was really good for me to be really honest about where I was at. If I was living in this fantasy world where I was still 22-year-old fit Joel, well, I really wouldn't, it wouldn't be a great place to start if I was trying to make any progress. It was really good for me to be honest about where I was at. It was my first step towards getting a little bit more in shape. It wasn't enjoyable. I certainly didn't love it at the time, but in hindsight, it was really good for me to be honest about where I was at. Upon reflecting on this wonderful experience with Brian, I did think that is similar to how my walk with Jesus has been in my life. When I think back to some of the most significant moments in my spiritual walk, a lot of them have not been enjoyable at the time. And a lot of them have not been something that I really loved. A lot of the most significant moments in my spiritual journey has been when someone has illuminated something in my life where I go, "Man, I just got to be totally honest about where I'm at." Somebody forces me to be honest about where I'm at. I just want to take a minute on the very front end of this message before I get any further and be honest with you, because I've prayed a lot about this particular message. This particular message is more from kind of my heart. You know, John and Nina just mentioned that we're 3 years old, and in a lot of ways, I'm celebrating that. And in a lot of ways, too, I'm reflecting and going like, okay, what about year four? What about year five? What about year six? I've been stewing on this for months, honestly. I've had the chance to lead this church for 3 years. And quick commercial, if you're listening to the podcast, you missed the announcement, you can get a free t-shirt too. Text SWAG to 97,000. Okay. I've had a chance to reflect a bit on how we're doing, where we're at, and how I'm doing in leading and pastoring this church. And if I'm being honest with you, I have been able to, I think, identify an area in which I don't know that I've been leading very well. I told our church very, very early on that I was going to do something, and I don't think that I've done it very well. I at least for sure haven't done it consistently well. Maybe from time to time I've done it a little bit here and there. But right before we started Three Creeks Church, there was a group of people, I think there were about 45 of us, that got down in the basement of the River 104.9 building, and we gave everybody Cane's chicken fingers. Some of you guys were there. Many of you guys have no idea what I'm talking about, but that's okay. We were in this room, and we were huddled in there, and we prayed some together. We talked about what the summer would look like. This is months before Three Creeks even became a real official church. And I said something at that meeting that I'm not really sure if I have followed through on very well. This is what I said. I said, "I'm not going to let you stay where you're at and be comfortable at the same time." Like, if you want to stay where you're at in your faith, in your life, well, then you're going to be really uncomfortable here, because I'm going to push you. I'm going to say things that are going to be hard to hear. I'm going to push you. And I don't know that I have followed through on that as well as I hoped that I would. It hasn't been consistent. As I've thought about this more, I've had to be very honest with myself, and I'm just being honest. There have been times where I have been more interested in creating followers of Joel, not building followers of Jesus. Like, I think from time to time I've been more interested in keeping you than leading you. Like, I've been more interested in keeping you here than leading you forward in your faith. I've been afraid to say certain things, things that Jesus said very clearly, honest things. And I sometimes I pull back because I'm scared if I say it, you're going to leave. And I don't want you to leave because I've never loved a church more in my life. So why would I say something to make you leave? And so I've had this, you know, I've tiptoed from time to time because I thought you might be mad at me. When you start a church, you really got to get a couple people to help, like, soon. You know what I mean? Like, you want to get some momentum. You want to feel like you have, enough people to help with kids. And so at the beginning, it's like, hey, welcome. Do you have a pulse? Good. Okay, welcome. Are there any warrants out for your arrest? No. Okay, would you like to serve in kids? Come back here. Let me show you. You know, like, at first, you're like, anybody, come here. And you're, I'm just being honest, I'm just nervous to say something where people are going to go, well, that guy, he's just like every other pastor, just on his high horse. And so I've tiptoed, but the more I've thought about it and the more I've prayed about it, and I'm even standing back there singing, just praying about it, God, help me, God, help me, God, help me. I believe the next step in our maturity as a church is me being really honest about where we're at. And so if you call Three Creeks your home church, well, I feel like this is probably going to feel like a family chat. If you're newer to Three Creeks Church, if you're curious about God, if you're curious about Jesus, I'm thrilled you're here. You're going to get a pretty deep look into kind of who we are as a church. And what I wrote down is that we're not going to direct TV you. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Hey, come on in for the special. And then a year later, psych, this is what it really costs to come here. Like, I don't want to do that. So we're just kind of showing all of our cards. If you're here and you're a Christian and Three Creeks isn't your home, well, this whole thing's going to be rooted in the Bible. And so maybe, I believe you're here on purpose by God's sovereign will. So you're supposed to be here. Maybe some of what I say won't pertain exactly to your life, but I can't imagine that you would go away from a time in God's word without having something touch you. There are, this is after 3 years, you guys. 3 years. And I've identified three areas that our church is really, really strong. Really strong. Like, when I hang out with other pastors and talk about you, I beam or cry because of how strong we are and how proud I am of our church. And I just want to take a few minutes and highlight a couple areas of our local church, Three Creeks, that is really, really strong. And the first one is we have really strong community. We really do. Like, this is not normal. When I talk about the way that we serve and interact with one another, other churches, they don't even believe me. It's remarkable how warm and welcoming and inviting and kind our church is. COVID makes this a little weird because it's like, hey, fist bump, you know, like we're doing some of that. But pre-COVID, and I assume hopefully soon, we're the warmest church, man. Like, I love bringing people here. If you are here and it's like your first, second, or third time and you feel like you're on the outs still, it's going to take like one or two more weeks until you feel like you're in. Like, this is a great place to be. Our community groups are so strong. So strong. We have great leaders. And I think our church is so strong in the area of community. I think our church is incredibly strong in the area of teams. Like, people that serve on teams. Somebody was out there in the freezing cold parking you today. Hey, you could have figured out where to park, right? But they wanted to be out there and make sure that you knew that we care that you showed up today. You matter. Like, our church serves, a bunch of you guys serve on two teams or three teams. And this is, when I tell people how many people in our church serve on teams, other pastors say, sorry, I don't think you heard my question. How many people serve? And I have to say it again. They think I'm lying. They don't believe me. It's unbelievable how much we serve. Other churches, their staffs get together. They have an idea. They want to do something to serve people or help people. The church and the servant heart of the church is actually what holds them back from being able to do that. They feel squashed in their dreams. John, Erica, and I, and Liz and Brandon, our staff, like, we don't feel like we can keep up with you. We feel like you're asking to do more. You guys propel us in helping people. I mean, you guys serve so much. And the third area that you are so strong, our church is so strong, is we're strong in the area of local impact. Like when we set out to be the church that Gehenna would miss if we ceased to exist, you bought into that. And so every time we put kind of an opportunity in front of you to serve somebody in Gehenna, our church just shows up. It's crazy. And we're a small church, and there are a lot of churches in Gehenna that are a lot bigger than us. But I'm just telling you that our city, City Hall, the schools, a lot of people are beginning to notice that Three Creeks really does care about them. And it's because you keep showing up and you keep serving our city. These are three areas that we are really, really strong in. And I've also, as you can imagine, thought of, or, you know, prayed about and thought of three ways that our church as a whole that we can grow in, that we need to get stronger in. And before I share them with you, I want to show you a few verses of scripture that have helped me be really confident about presenting this to you. And so if you have a Bible, you can turn in it or you can turn it on. And I want you to go to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Before I read you, starting in verse 11, I just want to tell you that Paul wrote Ephesians. It's a letter. He wrote it to a church. And listen to some of the characteristics of this church. It's a young church. It's a church that wants to have a great impact, and it has a really young pastor, just like me, right? Like, this church is a lot like us. Ephesus, the city that this church is in, it's a port city, so millions of people are going in and out and through Ephesus. The potential of this church is very, very high, and so that's why Paul writes to Timothy, or writes to the church in Ephesus. And he's got a couple things to say to me as the pastor, and then he's got a couple things to say to you, and I think that they're remarkably applicable. Let's start in verse 11, and let me read through verse 15. Here's what Paul wrote to them. Now, these are the gifts Christ gave to the church. He gave the church apostles. He gave the church prophets. He gave the church evangelists and the pastors and teachers. That's the part where it's talking about me. And then it talks about my job. It says their responsibility is to equip God's people, that's you, to do his work and build up the church, the body of Christ. This will continue until we all come to such unity in our faith, until we all come to the knowledge of God's Son, and we will be mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. Verse 14, then we will no longer be immature like children. We won't be tossed and blown about by every wind of new teaching. We won't be influenced when people try to trick us with lies so clever that they even sound like the truth. Instead, rather than being tricked, we will speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of his body, the church. So when I read that, what I take from that is that, oh, that's kind of a relief. I don't have to be a super Christian the minute that I become a Christian. Like I don't have to decide to follow Jesus and pray and then boom, just like that, I'm wearing pleated khakis and raising my hands in church, super Christian. Like that's not what Paul's saying. It's not how it works. But what I'm reading from this is that as a Christian, growing in my faith and growing in maturity is a big part of the Christian walk. Maybe you've heard it said this way, but I think it sums up what Paul says. It's okay to be where we're at, but it's not okay to stay there. That's what Paul's saying. And so look at a couple of the things that he said. Let me just highlight three things that Paul said. The first one, he says, is we're supposed to continue to work and build up the church until we're unified and what? Mature in the Lord. If we do that, if we mature in the Lord, then we're no longer going to be like immature children being tricked and deceived by all this stuff, false teaching. Instead, we're going to grow in every way more and more like Christ. And so if I read that, I just go, man, there's this. Paul's being pretty clear that, you know, Being a Christian, being a Christ follower is not just a prayer to be prayed or this one moment when you were a kid. There's this maturing process. People in church world, Christianese, call it sanctification. I know that's a big word, but sanctification, this process of becoming more and more like Jesus, like that's what starts whenever we become a Christ follower. And so for us as a church, can I just take a few minutes and identify a couple areas that we as a church can get stronger in? And I would encourage you, listen, if you are a part of Three Creeks, if Three Creeks is your home church, then I want you to write these down. I want these to carry weight. I want them to matter for you. And if I say one of these three and you're like, oh, that's not a problem for me, well, then help me out. Help me out and help us all mature in this if you have it all figured out. I would love your partnership in this. Here's number one, area that we could get stronger. Number one is generosity. Generosity. And I want to explain this because I'm a little torn in even saying that, because we do have some people in this church and we have had some moments in our church history that many people have been very, very generous. And so I'm not like slapping everyone. I'm just saying, listen, hear me out on this. We as a whole, we need to be a little bit more generous. And I want to explain why that matters so much. We've had these moments where, you know, some of the Gahanna gift shops or even the food drive this fall, where it just comes in. Or I think about even Christmas when you guys gave all that money to the missionaries that were moving to Africa. And we stood up here and we said, way to go, like you're generous. And it's true, but I don't want to appear more generous than we actually are. And what I mean by that is I personally never see names with numbers. So I don't ever see anyone who, you know, John gave $25. I don't see any of that. My heart cannot handle that. So I just don't even see it. But from time to time, I'll just be like, you know, how many people gave over this? And I'll get enough. And so in some of the bigger things that we've done, it's really kind of been top heavy. You get what I'm saying? Like there's been a couple people that did most of the heavy lifting, and then everybody else just kind of opted out or gave 10 bucks. I don't know. But it reminds me of this article that I read about Indiana Wesleyan University, which is where I went to. So I'm not trying to dog on them. Proud alum, go Wildcats. And when we, I read this article after I graduated, and it just struck me as funny because the chapel speaker got up and said, guys, we're going to be generous today. And he called and ordered a pizza in the first minute of chapel. And then he said, we're going to take an offering and everyone's going to give money and we're going to give all of it as a tip to the pizza driver. We're going to order a $10 pizza and then we're going to give all the money to the pizza driver. So they passed the baskets around and they got $900. In the last 5 minutes of the chapel, the pizza man comes in and carries the pizza and gives it to the speaker, and he gave him $900. Well, I went to IWU, so I know that 2,500 people went to chapel. And I'm doing the math. I'm like, that's 36 cents per person. So I'm not saying that $900 isn't a big tip for the pizza driver, but you can't tell me that that was radically generous, can you? 36 cents per person? You can massage numbers and make yourself feel a little bit better. I've done it. But the reality is across the board, I'm not talking to any person. I don't even know. How could I know? Because I don't know, I have a lot of freedom in saying this. That we, across the board, as a whole, need to grow in the area of generosity. Where we spend our money, it showcases where your heart's at, what you care about the most in all of life. That's where your money goes. And I think one of the reasons why we struggle in the area of generosity, and when we don't want to give our money away, is because we think it's our money. Right? Like we don't actually believe that everything that we have was given to us by God in the first place. Like we don't believe Psalm 24 that says that everything in the earth is the Lord's. On Halloween, we took our kids trick-or-treating, right? Masked up, you know, we went around, and my kids, the amount of candy they brought home, it should be illegal. I mean, it was so much candy. We still are not even halfway through the candy. There's a huge brown bag in my pantry, and every night at dinner, my kids go, "How many more bites of food do I have to eat before I get a piece of candy?" So we obviously use it to bribe our children to eat their food, right? That's what good parents do. And so, but one time I was kind of messing with Judah a little bit, my two-year-old, and I said, "Hey, Judah, I'm going to go eat all the candy." And he went, "No!" Like, he screamed. I was like, wow, I struck a nerve here. And I went, like, I know I shouldn't have done this, but I did. And I went, "Watch me." And I like took a step, and he went, "No!" And Morgan took that moment to remind me not to exasperate my children, which is what the Bible says. So I leaned back a little bit, and I said, "Judah, can I have 3 pieces of candy?" And he said, "1. I said, "Judah, can I have 2 pieces of candy?" 1. "Judah, can I have no pieces of candy?" I don't think he understood because he went, 1. So he's, I could go back there, I could pull him up here right now. "Judah, can I have 3 pieces of candy?" He would go, 1. Then I said to him, I was thinking about this, and I said to him, "Hey, Judah, if I wanted to, could I go eat all the candy? Or could I just throw it in the trash?" He didn't understand what I was talking about, but I just kept going with it. And I said, "And if I wanted to, could I go to Giant Eagle? Could I go to the store? And could I buy every single piece of candy on the shelf?" Once again, he did not understand. But I think that you get what I'm saying. See, it's very immature of my 2-year-old son to look at me and say, "One," when I am the source of all candy. You track with me? It's just ridiculous of him. 1. I could go throw it away. Or I could go buy 100 bags and give it to him. Like that. And so in the same way, it is odd to God when we go, 1. 1. He's the source. Everything in the land, everything on the earth, everything in it is the Lord's. And so in week 2 of Don't Skip Leg Day series, next week, I'm going to talk and I'm going to be even more honest about generosity. I'm going to try not to pull as many punches and honor my word from the river basement 4 years ago. I'm going to tell you what Jesus said about it. The second one is evangelism, which is another Christianese word for essentially telling other people about Jesus. COVID, frankly, has made this much more difficult. And so I kind of give you a half pass a little bit because it's made it a lot more difficult. But I would also propose that pre-COVID, this was not an area of strength for us. Like, I'll just be honest, I'm going to own some of this because I don't think over the course of 3 years, we have talked about this enough or trained you well enough or equipped you to be confident in telling other people, in sharing, in defending your faith in Jesus. And so I think, but at the same time, while I'll own some of it, I do believe that most people in our church, a lot of people in our church, were a little bit too comfortable just kind of staying in our lane. I literally had a conversation with a Christian, who said, "I just don't feel like it's my job to tell somebody else about my faith." And I just wanted to go, "What? Like, could Jesus have been any more clear? Like, look at his last words in all 4 Gospels." I'll just read you one of them in Mark chapter 16. These are the last words of Jesus. And he told him, "Go into all the world and preach the good news to everyone." Do you need me to translate that in another language? I don't understand that. Now, I'm not saying it's not awkward, and I'm not saying that you won't feel pushy. I'm not saying that it's gonna be really comfortable for you, but I'm just saying, wait a minute. You're telling me that you believe in Jesus, like you believe in heaven and hell, and that Jesus is the difference, and you don't think it's your job to tell somebody about? So it just doesn't make any sense to me. I'm committed as the pastor of this church to talk about this a little bit more often, to try to equip you and help you have these conversations with people that you work with and get coffee with and work out with. ways that you can not feel like you're Jesus juking somebody, but ways that you can naturally invite people into your life and let them experience the life-changing message of Jesus through you. So when COVID kind of fades and ends, Lord willing, then I want to become this church where you're just constantly inviting people to church, where you're constantly inviting people to your community group, where you're constantly inviting people into your life. Because as a Christian, as a Christ follower, you just can't not do it. And I just think, and here's a great way to kind of test yourself to see if this is something that's kind of a part of you. But like, you know, like twice a year, like leading up to Christmas or Easter, we're like, hey, who's the two people you're going to invite next Sunday? You know that? I don't want you to go, oh, didn't think about that. Maybe we could invite Becky. You know, like I don't want you to, I want you to go, I don't even know who else to invite. This is who I am. I don't need holidays to invite my friends. Am I making any sense? I want us to mature into this. Like, that's what a mature church looks like. Here's the last one. Prayer. I believe the effectiveness of our church, is being hindered by our prayerlessness, especially mine. This is not an area of strength for me. I would rather get stuff done then slow down and talk with God. I think my prayerlessness has leaked some into our church. I don't believe that our church can go any further than I am. I think the leader kind of sets the pace. I think that's about every church or business. I think the leader, it's hard for a leader to lead anybody beyond where they're at. In our staff meeting every week, we have 10 pieces of DNA. And this is the DNA that we talk about all the time because this DNA kind of guides the decisions that we make as a church. So for example, one of them is, you know, we plant life-giving churches. That's a piece of our DNA. Or we invest in the next generation. Like, we love kids. That's a piece of our DNA. Number 9 on the list is we pray a lot. And every week, I make the staff meeting agenda. And I take one of the DNAs, I go in order, and every week I just replace it with the next one. And 9 out of 10 weeks, I'm excited to talk about what our DNA is because we're actually doing it. Like, we really do love Three Creeks Kids, and we put energy and money into it. Like, we plant life-giving churches. We planted a church. We're not even, I guess we are 3. But God did that because we were intentional about saying, like, that's really important to us. And we get to number 9 and it says, we pray a lot. And I just go, oh, but I don't think we do. Like, I just don't think that I do. And I dream about this church when we have a prayer night that everybody comes. And I dream about this church when COVID's over and we have a prayer team. We have this prayer space up on either side of the stage. I dream of a time where the line's too long all the time, where you come up so fast because you just want to talk to God. I dream about a church where when we get in circles as teams and pray, you know, we do the whole thing. We're like, hey, Trevor, you open, and Tyler, you close, and then other people can pray in between. I dream about a time when we're late to stuff because too many people prayed. And I just want you to know that my commitment as a pastor is to try to lead better in that specific area, but that's what a mature church looks like. Over the next 3 weeks, we're going to dive into all 3 of these. Next week, I'm going to talk about generosity. The week after that, John is going to talk about evangelism. The week after that, I'm going to talk about prayer. And it's really not that complicated, right? I didn't just tell you radical information. You're like, wait, what? Christians pray? I mean, we're talking about the basics, but these basics are the basics that we need to think about and work on. In year 4 and 5 and 6, like, I want us as a church to grow in this and encourage one another in this. Like I said earlier, if you are an expert in any of these three, please help. Please help us. A few weeks after that first workout, the one where I puked, I found myself doing something that they warned me not to do. They told me, after I signed up, don't cherry pick workouts. Essentially, don't look ahead, look at the schedule, look at the workout, and don't cherry pick the ones that you know that you're going to be good at. Don't do that. And I found myself, oh, Tuesday's pull-up day. Not going Tuesday, you know, like not good at those. How will I get stronger if I'm not willing to do the hard work, the uncomfortable work, the stuff I don't want to do? How am I going to get stronger? I'm going to get stronger if I do the stuff that I don't necessarily want to do. So as I explain week two, week three, week four, generosity, evangelism, prayer, three things that I don't think many of us are very great at, I know there's going to be this temptation to want to skip it. And that's why I named the whole thing, don't skip leg day. So you would have this guilty thing in your mind, don't skip it. We can't skip leg day. If that line is lost on you, it's a word people say when they work out. It's like, man, nobody's skipping bicep day. Nobody's skipping abs day. Those look too good at the beach. Those are the ones that you want to show off. Don't skip leg day. It's important that we do the stuff that might be uncomfortable, that you don't love, but you got to show up. And so I'm asking our church, if Three Creeks Church is your home, don't miss one of these. And let this kind of set the tone for year four and year five. I want to close with one final thought. And I want to make sure that you don't tune out. The game, probably in the second quarter or something like that. You'll get there. TiVo. Woo! As I share this, I feel, as I actually wrote this part this afternoon, because I just felt this, like, this tension a little bit. I want to make myself really clear, and I don't want to be misunderstood, that I personally, I do not want to grow in these areas. I do not want to get stronger in these areas so that God will love me more. I want to get stronger in these areas because God loves me and because I love God. That is a done deal. That is a done deal. God's love for me has been poured out on my life. There's no Christian hoop that I need to jump through to get more of it. God loves me so much. By believing in Jesus, we are saved from our sins. But then to experience this full life that Jesus talks about, the full life, that comes from walking in obedience to God and becoming mature in our faith. And so while on one hand, I want you to hear me say that it is belief in Jesus, it is not by works that we are saved. It is through Jesus and what he did for us that we are saved. But this life, this relationship with God, it is full when we walk in obedience. So wherever you're at, you're welcome here. If your next step is simply to decide to follow Jesus, you're welcome in this church. In fact, I like you more than people that are already here. Like, I'm so glad that you are here. If you would say that you've been a Christian for a long time, but you're just kind of coming back around to it, maybe your next step is to recommit your life to Jesus and get back on the right path. And if you've been walking with Jesus for a long time, you go, I'm a Christian. There's no doubt about it. I'm in. I need your help. I need your help in leading this church and going forward and helping us mature. And so your next step is to listen to these messages and let God just kind of be, I guess what I'm asking you is, be willing to change. Be humble enough to admit that you might need to hear something. I want to grow into a pastor who loves you well and pushes you hard. And I'm just telling you, I'm going to need some grace in doing that. But I'm going into year four, into year five, into year six, more in love with you than I've ever been, honestly, I wish I could tell you more. I'm more excited than I've ever been. I think 2021 is going to be unbelievable. But as I lead and as I'm young, I just need your grace. I need your grace. And as I try to become this pastor that loves you really well and pushes you really hard at the same time, it's going to be tough for me to do. So I need your grace and I need your prayers. And I'm excited about year four, so don't skip leg day. Will you pray with me? Father, thank you for this wonderful church. It's my favorite church on the planet. And I pray, God, that you would usher us into maturity. I pray that if there's somebody sitting here tonight who doesn't know you, who hasn't made a decision to follow you, that they would not be scared by this bar that I've spoken of, but rather, God, that they would be overwhelmed by your love and grace for them. I pray for anybody in here who's been following you for a long time, but if they're being honest, they really haven't taken any steps recently. I pray that they would. I pray this would be a monumental month in their spiritual walk. God, thanks for the chance to be together. I pray that you would keep us safe tonight and help us to get back together more often soon. That's my prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening to this week's podcast. Our vision is to help people find and follow God. And we hope today's message did that for you. To find out more about our church, to give online, or to join a community group, visit 3creekschurch.com.